Welcome to Packet Pushers, the podcast covering the data networking industry. I'm Ethan Banks at EC Banks on Twitter, bringing you a second Tech Field Day bonus edition of the show. Keep up with the Packet Pushers at packetpushers.net or on Twitter at Packet Pushers. On September 16th and 17th, 2010, Greg and I were included in a delegation to hear several networking vendors make technical presentations at the GestaltIT.com Tech Field Day held in San Jose, California. What follows on this podcast is edited audio of a Tech Field Day presentation done by Gary Oliverio, CTO and founder of Cradlepoint Technology. As I was listening to Gary describe the business, it struck me that this was the coolest company I had never heard of. In short, what Cradlepoint does is make 3G, 4G routers. You connect your Ethernet or Wi-Fi LAN on the private side. You plug in your tetherable phone or carry a data card on the public side. Then the Cradlepoint sits in the middle and does the NAT and firewall magic that we're used to, with even greater capabilities built into the higher-end models. Cradlepoint's website is cradlepoint.com if you want to browse through their products while you listen to Gary talk.
My name is Gary Oliverio. I'm founder and CTO of Cradlepoint. We started life a number of years ago looking into ways of being able to augment the value of the 3G, 3G carriers with connectivity solutions that can solve real business needs. And first and foremost, we've really been catering to a lot of the early adopter folks, Steve included, that sort of thing. And we found ourselves building and delivering solutions for business that have been very valuable. I come at the world from technology, sales, marketing blended background. MIT graduate, worked for 15 years with Motorola, was involved in both semiconductor and wireless technologies. And one of the earlier, I have a product in my office downstairs here. I could have shown you. I was involved with, when the Apple Newton came out, Motorola was delivering a radio card that went into that. And I was involved in that project and that program and involved in this radio communication blended with computing from a very long time ago. And I've been watching this, and it's been very exciting, very interesting to watch this. After Motorola, it was a little company called Cygnus Solutions, you're probably familiar with. You know what Cygwin is. All of the open source initiatives, Red Hat took us out early on because we kind of had the lion's share of all the open source developers working in that company. So that was an interesting business model, had a lot of involvement on the open source evangelization process. So I was early on in working on embedded operating system, open source embedded operating systems and business models for that. So I'm pretty familiar with open source GPL, copyleft, copyright, etc. And after that, got involved with a company that was building a Linux distribution for handsets. It was a company that was TI funded called Ridge Run. It was based in Boise, Idaho, and we effectively built some of the early code that today is what makes up Android. That, unfortunately, in 2002 wasn't a good year to be in a startup, and we ended up selling off. I was involved with selling off the assets of the company to Nokia. But the same core engineering team, we pulled back together and we formed Cradlepoint. So let me give you a little bit of the background of what Cradlepoint is and a couple of key corporate facts. We're a leading innovator in network solutions that connect 3G, 4G mobile broadband into business. And I'll talk a little bit today about what those solutions are, the technology behind it, and how we're bringing that to market, and how we're leading in the market with a lot of leadership ideas and processes that are helping us. As mentioned, we're headquartered in Boise, Idaho. We've grown to about 75 employees, and we're first to the market with battery-powered personal hotspot. We actually created that category, and there were a number of things that we did on an innovation side that really opened up that whole the prospect for the whole MiFi and that category of product. We were the first company to bring out multi-modem support in a single platform. This basically allows multiple networks to combine access so that you can expand your footprint or have multi-device, multi-network failover for remotely deployed system. We also have brought out PoE solutions for the IT wiring closet. So there's a number of things that we're doing today that are fully compatible with all kinds of firewalls, whether it's the Cisco, Juniper, or SonicWall, Barracuda, whatever. We basically have solutions that bolt into the wiring closet but bring out a very attractive high-gain antenna solution that's very easily integrated with today's IT environment. So we'll talk a little bit about those solutions and about how we're making traction. The baseline of our platform is called Y-Pipe. Our products have a Y-Pipe logo on it, and that's our brand name for our technology, for our know-how, and for all of the functionality that we put in there. We've been carrier certified with Clearwire, with Sprint, Verizon, and a number of other operators, and this is the real value of how we are able to integrate with systems. We're on track to ship about 250,000 units this year, and we're profitable and we're growing. And it's exciting to be part of this exciting segment of the marketplace, and it's this blend of wireless and business IT that we're making some hay with. And let me talk a little bit about our mission, and that's creating business network solutions that eliminate the complexities of 3G, 4G, and facilitate integration into any IT infrastructure, and abstracting out those carrier-to-carrier differences, device-to-device differences, so that we can make our wireless WAN a standard ingredient in every IT environment. Because right now, the IT world and the telco world are at odds, if you will. There's a big brick wall between them, and, you know, carriers hate their customers, and customers hate their carriers, and it's really interesting to see this. But we actually have built products that make it appealing on both sides, and I've got some little stories about that, and I can get into them as we move forward, but I do want to be mindful of the time here. Let me talk a little bit about how we're serving business. The driving need is simplifying and broadening connectivity. When Sprint and Clearwire first brought out 4G networks, there was this big initiative, how are they going to get 4G chipsets into every laptop and into every iPad and every gadget out there? And it became evident to them that it dawned on them that our portable Wi-Fi devices and fixed Wi-Fi devices paved the way for them to be able to say that they can deliver 4G connectivity to a myriad of devices, because through our bridging products, essentially anything has Wi-Fi and connect to the 4G network. And that didn't quite dawn on them right away, but it was something that all of a sudden gave them the ability to broaden their footprint in terms of connectivity. Because the old way is, I've got a stick, and I've got a connection manager, and now you can connect to Windows or Macintosh or Linux, if you're lucky. And what we have done is, because Wi-Fi is the de facto standard connectivity, or Ethernet's a de facto standard interconnectivity, bridging to those protocols, bridging to those I/O is really what's given us the expansion of connectivity. So we started shipping commercial products in 07. Our first product is this little guy right here, a cellular travel router. You can take an air card, plug it in, Ethernet, and all of a sudden you can connect your laptop or your IP phone, or it's also got a Wi-Fi, about 150-foot range Wi-Fi routing built into it, a BG router. And this is the most compact solution, and we started shipping those in the middle of 07. We expanded the offering with a number of other products. This is the MBR 1000. We also, when Kyocera came out with the KR2, that was a Wi-Fi power product. We actually built that for them. And that was the basis for us expanding into a much broader network of solutions. This is a gigabit 802.11n router, an MBR 1200. It's one of the top sellers today. And in 09, we started adding the ability for all of these devices, just through a firmware upgrade, to have interoperability with 4G air cards. So now you can take an air card that's effectively the same kind of same caliber of uplink and downlink speed as your cable modem, maybe not the same latency, but basic broadband bandwidth, and provide that portability in. So we're very successful in selling that type of solution today, and it's really driving business because we provide some solutions that, again, like I say, it's not just a router in a box for a small office, but some solutions that actually tie into enterprise branch, and I'll get into that. The key ingredients that are driving this is our Wi-Fi platform. That's our technology. We'll spend a few moments going through that today. The fact that we put enterprise-ready security, connectivity, and control into that is are some elements that are helping our channel partners drive larger deals. We have a software-as-a-service offering called Wi-Fi Central, and it's basically login, an account that you can have for controlling a large number of employee fleet devices. So today, we're in trials with a number of different folks. One case in point is Circle K. They've got 2,500 stores. They're using our devices as a failover device. So this device here, you've got standard WAN coming in with DSL modem. DSL service is notorious for not having the SLA at T1. It's got somewhere between 2 and 5% downtime. And sometimes if you're running your point of sale on that type of a backbone, it's killer. So with 3G failover, within about 15 seconds of detecting an outage on the DSL side, we automatically engage a connected 3G modem to keep in standby, run over 3G, and then when the DSL comes back up, we'll switch back over to cheaper connection. So that's been a a very successful, compelling application for us today, and it's driving a lot of our volume, and we've worked on building in those applications. What's the business opportunity as we see it? And right now we're looking at some projections, and these are numbers that we've compiled based on some industry numbers, some basic insights that we've gotten from different analysts about what's the penetration rate of this 3G backup, what's the value of it, how do we, you know, what's the chances of that moving forward. So looking historically at 2008, 2009 numbers, blue is like the enterprise stuff, like the Cisco H cards that plug into their chassis that give you this backup. It dominated a lot of that. You know, we're coming on strong. We're building, participating in a lot of this business on the enterprise side. On the small, medium business, we're talking predominantly about routing devices that can connect to a 3G era. So if you look at SonicWall's product line, there's a number of them that have connectivity. They may not be engaged, they may not be utilized for that, but that functionality is available. And we're talking about that category of product. The red is mostly the MiFi type of devices, subscriber units that are going to personal consumer type applications. And so looking at this, you know, our focus is how do we drive solutions into this business area. And again, the four principal activities are in this remote primary connect, somebody who's got a remote deployment. You'll find that in a mall, you know, there's a lot of retailers that have, they don't have a DSL drop in the middle of the mall, but they're using 3G for the point-of-sale backup or point-of-sale primary connection. We're serving that in a lot of places. Business continuity is that failover functionality we're talking about. Secure mobility, this is the case where somebody I think, Steve, you talked about the personal hotspot. This is our battery-powered device. This works with over 150 different modems and air cards that you can find in the marketplace and handsets. You actually plug in here, and it can utilize them as a modem and give you Wi-Fi connectivity. There's a level of security we've built into this that pass a lot of IT CIO tests that the MiFi and the Overdrive don't. So we put a lot more effort into that security piece that make it more interesting, and we've been able to, you know, serve some of the major verticals that have a need for that kind of thing. And moving forward, I think some of the notations coming out of the cellular world is that they expect to see 300 to 500% penetration in the market. So what does that mean? They're originally projecting an 80% penetration into the population. In other words, 8 out of 10 people have a cell phone. But now it's looking like they're on track to drive to about 500%, because some people have not only a cell phone, but they might have an iPad with, you know, the 3G built in, or they might have a laptop with 3G, or they might have, you know, there might be a machine-to-machine kind of implement on one. One of the applications that we're gaining traction in is some of these remote kiosk type of devices. DVD dispensers like Redbox actually have our gear in. So there's a number of these kinds of applications where having some simple cellular 3G, 4G to embedded computing, you know, IT-centric kind of solutions are very valuable. And they care very much about, you know, can you pass my VPN? You know, can you block? Can you do a lot of the firewall kind of functionality the way I want it? And that's part of the functionality we're delivering. And then the other piece here that's triggering this 4G spectrum capacity is going to change the game in terms of how many connections can be present in a particular community or in a particular environment. Right now, the building next door has this AT&T and Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile all have connections up there. And each sector, each one-third of a full cell site broadcast area, each sector can basically manage and accommodate roughly 72 simultaneous. With 4G, that per sector quantity goes up to about 200. So instead of 200-ish connections per cell tower, you're going to get about 600. And what that is anticipating is this phenomenon, more continuously connected devices. And what we're focusing on is delivering more business connections that utilize that backhaul for various applications. So here's the important piece of real estate to note is spectrum. Who owns the spectrum? So here's my first test to you guys. I'm going to test how smart you are. Who can pick out what any of those bars are? Who do they think that is? Clearwire.
Okay.
Okay. So this lowly 4G company has more spectrum than everybody else. So why is this important? The spectrum really dictates where are the, you know, where's the potential assets, where's the potential value for delivering solutions to business. So what we're all about is delivering business solutions and, you know, into various categories. So we have solutions for the enterprise branch, small business, teleworker, as well as the SoHo mobile. So you guys might be, if you're interested in, you know, having connectivity you know, wherever you might be, you might get something like this, which is NPR 900, and this is available at Best Buy for, you know, $150. And I actually have some of these to give away, so you all get one of them. But first pitch, we'll go to the people that have the candy bars. Let me just go into some description on this CBA 750. So this device is a pass-through system. You can plug in up to 5 air cards, USB or express card, and it's actually got one Ethernet jack that would plug into your wiring closet, but it's power over Ethernet. So I can take this device, stick in my air card, mount it with a cover to kind of secure that air card, and mount this on the wall remotely, wherever you're closest, whichever wall is closest to your antenna of your carrier, and now you have this instant failover, or you plug it into a secondary LAN port of your router, of your firewall, and now you have this instant failover mechanism. So instead of spending another $150 or $120 for a secondary ISP, which is going to be your insurance policy against an outage, you can load balance or bring in a 3G or 4G connection for roughly $30 to $50 to $60 a month. And we think that that's a compelling argument for a lot of businesses that need to have 100% uptime. So we think this is, you know, this right now is flying off the shelf. We really are moving lots of cheaper.
How about 3G latency?
3G latency is definitely a problem. But you know what? If your system is out, it might take you 5 minutes or 10 or 20 or 50 or an hour before DSL comes back up. And a friend of mine used to run an auto parts store, and he would say when the DSL went out, they had no clue when it would come back. They were all down to paper and pencil. They didn't have any access to their inventory in their warehouse, and it just made their business come to a screeching halt. So businesses that do any kind of point-of-sale stuff are finding that this is a very compelling solution for them that's giving them a lot of insurance against problems.
What was that last one called?
This right here is a CBA 750.
CPA?
CBA, Cellular Bridging Adapter. And it is, we're moving those through a lot of different things. So another initiative that we've taken on is being able to provide more gain or more signal integrity to that device in the wiring closet. Because a lot of these little air cards aren't necessarily industrial, you know, they're not ruggedized, they're not that, the little mini antennas are, you know, yay big. So this right here is a 4G modem that plugs happily into this guy. So now all of a sudden this is a 4G CP. And I can mount that on the wall, power over Ethernet into my wiring closet. Now I've got a full solution for wireless connectivity that the carriers are very excited about having access to. So we will have versions of these in a lot of different flavors from different operators.
Different colors, different badges.
And the beauty of this is the IT manager who wants to do a deal or get something deployed, you know, generally they're going to have a preferred vendor, a Verizon or a Sprint or an AT&T or Clearwire or T-Mobile or whoever. And they're going to take 70-80% of their business. However, it's that extra 30%. I can either go out and find some other piece of gear, a different kind of thing, or what we're offering really with Waypoint is the ability to have that choice. They can have this type of solution in one of their deployments, pick another air card, and they can have somebody else's in another. So instead of a cobbled together system, they can have a unified deployment where the derivative, you know, the differentiators are going to be the different types of carrier relationships in each of those regions. So we're working closely with the operators in a much more sophisticated way than a lot of other folks in this area. We really are focused on 3G connectivity. I want to talk a little bit about Wi-Fi, which is our technology platform. And it really is it consists of a stack of different elements all come together that combine our know-how and our insight and understanding of how these systems work. And at the base level is the hardware reference platform. So basically, a lot of people come out with, you know, there's a lot of folks in the router business that go to Asia, they shop an ODM, they get a basic N router, and they're good to go. And they put a driver in there that knows how to talk to a particular air card, and they think they're done. Well, from our standpoint, that's the start of it. We put a lot of effort into carrier interoperability, understanding the spectrum that they're operating in. Each of our routers, you know, we anticipate that this thing might be living next to a 1.9 gigahertz radio, or maybe 1.7, or maybe 900, or maybe 2.1. So we're really paying attention to those spectral bands to really focus on good interoperability. Another example is this has an integrated 802.11n BGN radio running right at 2.4, and we have to play nice with a 2.5 gigahertz radio, and it's non-trivial. Not at all, it's a non-trivial problem. So part of the issue in the business world is delivering sure connectivity and a very good, you know, reliable link. So this is helping us out a lot, and there's a lot of shielding and a lot of extra effort that goes both into this side of it as well as this to make sure you get a quiet signal that's going to behave nice. Quite on the opposite end of the world of the business end is the consumer side. Interesting note is that one of our operator partners has told us that 40% of the people that come in asking for their product are declined because insufficient. So 40% of people that want a service can't buy it because they don't have the money, but they're willing to go with a prepaid thing. So Clearwire just rolled out Rover, which is a prepaid 4G brand. They have two products. There's a USB stick, and there's this guy, which we have. And we've worked very closely with Clearwire because we've helped them accelerate deploying solutions, and our engineering teams being in Boise, and they're kind of in this, you know, they're in North America and a lot of it in Seattle, working with their teams to work through this coexistence of 2.4 and 2.5 and drive a lot of the green meanie kind of problems down to zero. So it's really been valuable working with them. Well, the good news is we've taken our expertise, and the radio that's built in here is one that we've designed. We take that exact same radio, once it's qualified on the network, now to go stick it in here. You know, this business is not something that's going to make Cradlepoint rich, but it will give us the traction with carrier, drive the relationship, drive our understanding of technology so that we can go do this and drive this into the IT world and have, you know, have a 45 to 50 points of gross margin instead of 18 to 9. You know, survivability in this business is critical, and we're driving a lot of the business pieces as well as the technology as well. Above that, moving forward, we've built, we're driving a NetBSD product platform, and you know, all the benefits of open source without some of the drawbacks. Got a great platform. It's given us access to a lot of networking stacks. The real core piece is driving both the high-performance routing and modem interoperability. So our platforms wake up with the ability to, you know, this device here has built into it support for 150 different modems. So if you take this back to the UK or whatever, you'll be able to find a commercially available modem that this will work with much higher certainty than taking a, you know, brand X type of. So this is sold in Best Buy. They value our technology because the return rate's a lot less.
And, because it works everywhere. People don't come back from a trip to Germany and say this didn't work.
It's not so much that, it's taking it home on a trip to San Jose and finding out it doesn't
never work.
so that's less the issue than just in general interoperability. Yeah. And there's so much churn in this business. Maintaining good insight into all of those and owning the underlying technology is really where we have driven it. Building, you know, going up a little bit higher in the applications layer, you know, they do support, you know, this little guy here, we have VoIP support and QoS. So I can plug in my VoIP phone, talks to my SIP server back in Boise, and I can be online on a 3G connection in my car with my Cisco 7940, you know, phone. Security, encryption, a lot of the functionality, again, this failover load balancing as well as our connection manager, providing interesting data and diagnostics to the carrier is invaluable. On the management layer, building in some of the remote management pieces as well as part of what we have done, as mentioned with the Circle K deployment. You know, they're using our software as a service remote management to be able to remotely configure devices once they've been deployed. And that's been a great value, and we're pushing along that vector as well. So talking about a little bit of the hardware implementation, this is the hard part that a lot of guys don't necessarily focus on. It didn't come through real clear, but basically it's the RF systems expertise drives a lot of it. Here's some broad spectrum noise. That's because a USB driver or a USB chip is just made for talking to a printer. It's not made for being quiet enough to coexist with a 3G or 4G modem. that is a big problem. When we apply our technology to the generic reference design, we're able to make that quiet enough to live and play nice in the 4G world. This little spike here is because there's an SD-RAM. It's a main clock and an SD-RAM. It happens to sit right on top of Clearwire Spectrum. You know, driving that down is a key piece that makes it possible for us to play nice in that world. So focusing on those things is solving some of the hard problems. We have weekly calls with carriers. We're anticipating problems. We're understanding what the network issues are. In the wide area networks, it's not like Wi-Fi. It's way more complex. The number of dB below the noise floor, you have to be able to extract signals. It's a different ballgame. So we're really driving our electronics package around being able to deal with that. So the Wi-Fi technology, it's more than just package of drivers that talks to 150 modems, but it's the underlying electronic that allow the full system to work reliably. So what's our vision of the future? We think that the triggers for growth are really imminent here. The connections per tower, what we talked about earlier, with how many things other than people are we connecting to, the ability to deliver a wireless ISP in a box, the whole notion of going to the store and buying something, setting it up and being online is interesting. And we think that with another generation of, the connections per tower, go get the business guys, and then drop in more towers and cellularize it to the next level to a point where the coverage footprint will be as strong as it is today, voice, for example, is just a matter of time. It's on this virtuous growth side. So we see the prospects for digital cord cutters in IT world, especially in small business, being very close. And we're leading a lot of the solutions that will help this work, and we're working with carriers to deliver those bundles, those solutions that, their wheelhouse, their district channel, is their direct and indirect business channels, and poised to work win with them. There's some other things on this other side of the house. There's a, we've taken the same electronics package of this guy, which is that prepaid, sell to the carrier, and let them message to the end user. Here's a device. It's not as sexy looking, albeit, but it's much more of an enterprise-oriented device. Same core electronics package. This is an 802.11n radio, dual Wi-Fi bands, the ability for the IT manager at home to run a single-channel VPN to this device so that the remote worker on the road can have the same firewall experience that they have on campus, wherever they are, and the secondary SSID 802.1x authentication for those other devices so that your wife's iPad can connect to the internet without getting on inside your firewall. So solutions like that for business are where we're focused on doing things that the consumer isn't going to value, but they're not going to pay the price, so to speak. So we're positioning for more of that enterprise, direct to the IT manager type of play, and we're this is preliminary. It's not shipping right now. You guys get a little sneak peek. We could talk more about this. I'd be happy to field any questions on where we're taking that. But we're growing our footprints, the number of embedded radios that we'll be able to support.
Hey, that's it for this Packet Pushers bonus edition. Send us your thoughts via email to packetpushers@gmail.com, or of course leave your comments on the blog post at packetpushers.net.